What's up, Toiletville? This is the Pumpkin Baby, Hessian Hunter, coming out of Toilet Retirement, just with a special message that my editor-in-chief, Joe, has offered me, you know, a gracious place to stay in his beautiful home in Austin, and turns out Austin sucks, except for the cats. Don't come here, but stay for the cats, even though you're not here.
You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.
This is acting like an animal, a dirty animal that eats its own feces when hungry.
This pit up, y'all.
Oh yes, you just heard Horrible Earth with Typical Human Behavior. That's the title track from Typical Human Behavior. That's solid hardcore slash grindcore out of Boston. I got their record in my inbox this week, and I gotta say, it is jamming me. It's gym jams for swole bros. Take it to the bank. I'm Joe Thrashenkill. With me, as always, is Randall Thor, and our guest today, 365 Days of Horror. This is the Toilet of Hell radio show. How you doing, boys?
What up?
Just laying on my couch like a lazy, fat piece of garbage.
I think your presence on the show would improve if you, like, sat upright.
You think so?
Yeah, and maybe, like, don't eat an entire pizza while lounging.
Now, to be fair, I told you earlier that I ate an entire pizza, but I didn't mention it was lunch and dinner. So, like, I ate one whole pizza and split it over two meals, not ate two whole pizzas.
Okay, but, like, did you at least split up the eating, or did you just casually graze on it until it was gone?
Four slices each.
Okay. Okay.
That's healthy, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's probably fine. I'm not a nutritionist or a dietitian. 365, have you been binging pizza as well?
No, thankfully not. Okay. I did have late night pancakes at about 2 in the morning at Denny's, but not as bad as grazing on pizza for hours.
Did you go to a show? That's after show food.
It is after show food, but I ended up going to someone's birthday party, which initially started at like a tiny karaoke bar, and the room they were doing it in had like 40 people in it. And it's the size of like a walk-in closet, and there was no AC, so everyone was just gross and sweaty, yarling along to Fall Out Boy and Stone Temple Pilots.
That's awesome. I think that every karaoke song could be improved by yarling, and sometimes I do it anyway.
And then the party moved to another bar, which had air conditioning and room and Sports Jeopardy on, so it improved greatly.
That seems... What's your go-to karaoke song?
I've only been to karaoke twice, so I don't really have a go-to song. The past two times were Monster Magnet, Space Lord, and that really got the three heavy metal bros in the bar excited. And the other time was Alice in Chains.
Gotcha. I typically go with either a Prince song or Lisa Loeb's Stay. That's always a nice surprise for folks.
I'm really surprised you didn't pick Pearl Jam. There's always one guy at the bar who can do that perfectly and not like actually sing it, but yarl the crap out of it.
I don't know if Eddie Vedder's ever sang a single lyric in his life.
I mean, there's words. He's trying to say words. Okay. He really needs to see What's the thing like when you're a kid and you have a speech therapist. Impediment? Yeah, that's the thought. I don't know.
Yeah, Yellow Ledbetter came on the radio the other day, and it really blew me away by his mastery of just mush mouth nonsense.
I mean, somebody's got to do it. Yeah, when I make karaoke, though, it's got to be Judas Priest, because every karaoke place has Judas Priest. It's fun as crap to sing, and then people are, for some reason, impressed when I can hit stupid high notes.
So are you normally going one of the bigger hits, like You're Breaking the Law, Turbo Lover?
I just go Hellbent for Leather if they have that, because during the solo, I just do windmills the whole time, and people laugh at that.
Karaoke, a lot of places don't have King Diamond or Merciful Fate, and I always want to do that and try to hit the notes and really harsh people.
There's a guy locally who runs a karaoke at a venue, and he does it every Tuesday or Wednesday. I can't remember which one. And he keeps trying to get me to come out. He's like, dude, you should come sing. You should come sing. We got Judas Priest. I keep telling him, I'm not coming until you get Riot Thundersteel. And he keeps blowing me off. All I want him to do is get Riot Thundersteel, because that's the greatest song ever written in human history. And I even went and found, like, look, right here, you can get Riot Thundersteel right here, and send him the link to the karaoke version, and he won't do it.
I think what you're forgetting is that karaoke is, you know, it's fun to do, but your goal there is supposed to be to entertain a crowd. And it's hard to do that while harshing their vibes with tracks that they don't know or they don't like.
So that's why there's no Ripper Owen songs?
Yeah, that's a good point.
I get that, but he keeps trying to get me to come out, and I'm like, okay, I'll come out if you get this. That's the only way you're going to get me to come out, and he won't do it. I'm not disagreeing with you that he does need to kind of keep it popular and mainstream, but if he also wants me to come out, then he has to do that.
Fair enough, man. That and How Bizarre.
What?
OMC, How Bizarre. That's always a crowd pleaser.
Oh.
I have it on good authority. That's what the Master Lord does every time he goes out to karaoke.
He told me that he does... what's that one? Oh, baby, you got what I need. Just
yeah.
A friend, just a friend.
Bismarcky.
Yeah, I don't know anybody that's outside of metal for some reason, because I'm an idiot. Master Lord told me he does that one every time.
Huh, he's lying to one of us.
Or both. To beat him up.
I am currently, my toes are being eaten by a small kitten right now, so I apologize if I am distracted.
What'd you name the kitten again?
I did not name the kitten, because if you name the kitten, it becomes yours.
I heard that they had a name now.
So, I guess it was Wednesday evening, my girlfriend and I heard this loud yelping noise coming from our porch. Look outside, and someone had dumped a soaked, angry kitten on the doorstep. So, like total suckers, we brought that in and cleaned it up and took it to the vet. And we're allowing it to annoy the other cats in the house now, which they are deeply, deeply annoyed. But at the vet, she was required to give the cat a name, I believe. In a moment of panic, she decided to go with Joe Trash.
Joe Trash.
I don't know how I feel about...
You can call it your little trasher. Hey, Trash.
I like the name Trash in general, but why does it have to be Joe Trash? I feel like it's weird naming this cat. It's so similar to my name.
I
could have named it
you.
Something... Sorry.
Oh, you go ahead.
I was going to say, she could have named it just like Mr. Cat.
Mr. Cat.
Mr. Kitty. Mr. Cat. But she went, like, you know, she put a little bit of thought in it and a little too much thought in it. And now you have a, you know, a little animal named after you.
Yeah, my dad has a cat named Cat Cat. It was named by his grandkids, which would explain that. But I think that's a pretty great name for a cat. It's very to the point.
I think all pet names should be named by children, because they come up with the most adorable names. Like when you have kids who name their cat like Socks, or I'm trying to think of other childhood dog names that were just absolutely soul-crushingly adorable.
Well, it's hard to top Cat Cat for me.
Cat Cat. That's exactly what that is. It's a so cute. I can't stand it.
If you want to go with like a metal name, you just go with like Witch Wolf or Wolf Witch.
That's true. That's actually, I like that a lot.
Wolf Wolf.
Wolf Wolf, yes. Well, I guess if you had a dog, that would make more sense. This would be like, I don't know, Leopard Leopard or something.
I'm going to name my cat. My next one, his name's going to be Dog Dog.
Hey, do you want a cat, by the way? Because I've got one for you.
I would love one, but I can only have one pet in my apartment.
I mean, it's a cat. It doesn't count as a pet, really.
I don't disagree, because cats just do whatever the heck they want anyways. And are basically aggressive toddlers, but with claws.
Yes.
But my apartment would still count that as a pet.
Those bastards. How about you, 365? You want a cat?
I'm a dog person.
I mean, I am too, but here I am with three cats.
Yeah, I don't think it'll survive through the mail. So I appreciate the effort.
I'll poke holes in the box.
Yeah, just put some holes in there. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
Some holes, throw a little pizza in there. It'll be fine.
There you go.
Cats do love pizza.
They like ravioli too, I found out.
How did you find that out?
Because I left my bowl of ravioli down, and then I came back, and there's Albus, just having a good old time, munching away.
All right, so did anything in the metal world happen this week? Like, I feel like this was a fairly light week. Did you guys catch something that I didn't?
For some reason, a lot of my death metal friends are publishing their best of top 25 lists, the little topster list with the images or whatever.
Do they know that it's August?
Yeah, I'm not sure if they do or not. It seems a little off. So I'm not really sure what triggered that. I guess one of them did it, and now like my Facebook news feed is half my little death metal circle just like, oh, this is my top 25. And it's predictably like all the stuff you would expect. Cthulhu, Celotry, Golgotha, Ripper's up there, Howls of Ebb, Temisto, Nucleus, all the whole gang is all on the list.
The entire roster of Unspeakable Acts.
It's literally just 80% of Unspeakable Acts and Dark Descent's releases this year.
Makes sense, man. Labels of the year.
I wouldn't argue that. I feel like, because I know somebody posted that Voidspawn EP or demo or whatever, and literally within the week, I think Dark Descent grabbed them. It was either them or Unspeakable Acts.
Oh, but, yeah, no, I believe it was Unspeakable Acts.
But it's so funny to me that it also happened about the same time my friends started spreading him, because somebody posted it in the Toilet of Hell Facebook group, and then my death metal friends caught wind of it, and then they all started sharing it around, and then the next day they got signed.
I'm telling you, man, like, everything, we make waves happen. The toilet is where things start.
We should send them an email and say, hey, I noticed someone post your band in our Facebook group. You now owe us royalties because it happened before you were signed.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Pretty much. I got a submission from a band called Gilded Lily about a month ago, and I premiered a track for them. It was really cool, kind of black metal band. And I was working with these guys. No other metal outlets were working with them. So we premiered this track, and then suddenly Noisy went and premiered the full album. Just saying, tastemakers, we make it all happen.
If only we could make this happen with power metal, and we'd be set to go.
One thing at a time.
Yeah, don't you have like a power metal Facebook group or something?
US Power Metal Connection, and we're about to announce the roster for Flame of the Dark 3.
So you did put out the cover art, I guess it was 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, it's just super. It looks like a PS2 game, and I'm stoked on it.
Yeah, if Dark Souls was a PS2 game, that would be what it is.
It's awesome. I'm so stoked on it. And the roster, this is the whole comp is just absolutely stupidly good. Every single track is just an absolute jammer of a time. And oh, man, I'm so stoked for people to get this. Last year we had, Frank sent me the numbers, like less than 30 pounds of CDs, because we bought like 600.
Wait, how many CDs is in a pound?
Oh, too many, I don't know. Hold on, let me go find that message real quick, because Frank sent me the numbers. But the amount of poundage we have, let's see, last year was 28 pounds. This year, 160 pounds of CDs.
I don't. That's, I'm an American. I don't know the metric system, so a pound of CDs doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. But I'm gonna go with you in saying that it's a lot.
It's a ton. I know we our goal was to get like 2,000 CDs. I think that's what we ordered, which is so many. But I mean, I guess if there's anybody out here who's ever like been in a band or done label work, I mean, 2,000 CDs is still a lot of CDs. But if you ever worked with a label, I imagine that you're probably chuckling. Just 2,000.
Hearty chuckles.
I would say more smarmy chuckles.
Oh, good. So you're going to basically stand out on the corner, right? Like handing these out like they're your Fire demo tape, right?
Absolutely. I mean, it's called A Flame in the Dark. I don't even have to make, I don't even have to try or stretch to make any Fire jokes or Fire references. It's just right there in the title. This is A Fire in the Dark.
It's grab lit, this. Fam.
Hey, Joe, question. How many, oh crap, what was the joke? How many Asubras does it take to twist in a light bulb?
Wait, what?
How many Asubra does it take to turn on a light bulb?
I don't know.
It's already lit, fam.
God. Damn it. All right. I need a break from this, from life, from everything. The only thing that's going to make me feel better right now is some sick, brutal death metal.
I think I know what you're going to play.
Yeah, man. Let's go ahead and get some slams going. This is
Let's do it.
This is Into the Soil by Defeated Sanity.
We'll be right back.
That's the stuff. You just heard Into the Soil by Defeated Sanity. That's off their latest release, Disposal of the Dead / Darmeta. That's a split that Defeated Sanity did with Defeated Sanity. They wanted to put out some more slam jams for dudes like me, while at the same time expanding their sonic territory by ripping off Cynic for a half a record. So that would be the Darmeta half. If you really like Cynic, listen to that half. If you really like slams, listen to the first half. If you like both, man, do I have the record for you.
Yeah, I don't think enough bands rip off Cynic well. And apparently, I haven't listened yet, but apparently Defeated Sanity absolutely nailed it.
Oh, totally. It's worth noting I'm not a Cynic fan by any stretch of the imagination, but they definitely have the chops and the songwriting skill to match what I've heard from Cynic.
It's funny you say songwriting skill, because typically brutal death metal and slam stuff is absolutely juvenile in terms of song structure and progression in songwriting. I mean, it's just
you can say that about literally any genre of metal there is. There are people who know how to write a song and there are people that don't. Like, some just string riffs together and hope that it's going to come out right. You know, if you anybody can be Suicide Silence in that way.
Right, but brutal death metal typically is just literally nothing but just brutal down-tuned riffs for days. Which is fine if you like that style. It's good. I'm not trying to hate on it. It's just funny that they can go from such a relatively simple genre to playing basically Cynic in an album.
I don't know. You might be selling brutal death metal short just a bit by calling it simple. I mean, essentially you've got technical death metal just dumbed down slightly. You're still dealing with people who are all-star players, basically.
Well, sure. Yeah, that's absolutely true. Either way, I'm just trying to say that it's funny that they go from such similar but different genres. Though they're both obviously death metal, they're very different.
That's true. My assumption for why they did this is, number one, they probably really like Cynic, and number two, they wanted the haters to step off the dick, you know? I can play jazz,
too. Oh, absolutely.
Too.
It's really cool to me, just because, as far as I'm aware, because I'm not huge on Defeated Sanity, they play brutal death metal. Most of these bands will release the same album over and over again, and if you're into brutal death metal, you love those albums, and it's great. But you're absolutely right. It feels like, hey, look, just because we play brutal death metal doesn't mean we don't know what we're doing, and then they just drop this monster. It's hard to talk about something you haven't listened to yet.
It's never stopped me.
that's what the internet's for.
Exactly.
You like that album? You're a poser.
Yeah, I can spout off any half-assed opinion I want. You can't even fact-check me. You don't know me.
You can't see me.
360 haters can't see me. 365. You were exploring the depths of brutal death metal when you came across a show coming up in your neighborhood that I think that we all need to know about.
Yeah, this is something I teased about in last week's show. Probably like all the listeners and like you guys, I frequently check all the venues in my area to see what's coming to town. And there's one I was checking out, and it's not necessarily a metal venue, but they do have metal shows and have a little bit of everything. I saw Voivod and Vector there a few months ago. I'm going to see Baroness and Pallbearer next week. And there's one show that really caught my eye just because it stood out, and I don't quite get it. It's called Girls Night In, and I'll read the description just so everyone can understand exactly what this is.
Please.
Full Screen Live presents Girls Night In. This year's all-star lineup includes Nikki and Gabby, Alicia Marie, Jesse Page, and Allison Stoner. The 24-city tour brings together fans from across the United States and Canada for an evening of dance, musical performances, and an opportunity to meet their favorite stars. And general admission starts at $35. The pre-show party upgrade is $90. And the meet and greet is $180.
Christ.
And I have no idea what this is.
So I'm not going to pretend that I know who these people are, but it's a night of dance and music, so I assume that they're pop stars of some kind. Like, Nikki and Gabby must be some duo that...
I've heard of them before, but I don't know where or why.
I don't know who Alicia Marie or Jesse Page with the AE or Allison Stoner are, but I guess they must be musicians of some kind.
They're not musicians.
What? I just looked up Allison Stoner, and she's apparently on a bunch of shows from the like Nickelodeon shows in the 2000s. Basically stuff, literally this is us being old right now, because all of these shows I'm aware of but never watched because by the time they were being shown, I wasn't interested in that stuff anymore.
So yeah,
this is clearly not geared towards the white male demographic.
So they're actresses? Is that what they are?
This one's a voice actor and actress and apparently a choreographer and dancer and model and singer. Basically, I'm going to do everything in my life and be successful.
She's a quintuple threat.
That's awesome. I want to do that. But like, what are they going to do? I mean,
yeah, I don't know what this thing is, because if you there's just I don't know what's going to happen.
Fortunately, there's another hint here to clue us in a little bit. There's a video underneath the description, so let's go ahead and. Let's watch this together. How about it?
Sure.
Okay.
I think we can do that.
3, 2, 1. I'm going to click play. How about that?
I already clicked play.
Okay.
Well, do it again.
All right. 3, 2, 1, play. Okay. Full Screen Live presents. That is a car full of women waving their arms in the air because it's convertible.
All white women. They're really happy.
Nikki is white. Gabby is
live,
also
laugh,
white.
Live, love. Hashtag bless.
They walk around a lot.
Alicia Marie is a white woman as well. And Jesse Page.
Is that a MacBook?
White woman. Allison Stoner is a white woman. They are all walking around looking pensively or
smiling.
Howling. They're happy. They're backstage. They're doing their hair and makeup. They're looking at their MacBooks. They're looking in the mirror. They're walking together in a friendly manner. There's a big crowd of people, and they're on stage, and that's it. I don't know what these people do. What do you do, lady?
And it's a lot of tour dates, too.
Oh, they're coming.
Unfortunately,
to,
they're coming right to me, but that's the same weekend as Prague Power. Otherwise, I would absolutely go and deliver a comprehensive report.
Well, they're going to be in Houston. I mean, Houston's kind of far to go for. An event is going to cost me a minimum of $35 general admission. Also, I don't know what the hell this is.
Well, you should go and find out.
One of the related videos that came up for me is Girls' Night In Concert, San Francisco, 2015. It's 10 minutes long.
Interesting. One of my
we'll have to research this later.
One of my related videos is Powerlifters Don't Train Abs, The Struggles. The struggles, indeed.
One of my related videos is how to recognize a garbage anime in one episode.
Wow.
Because of course it is. What do you think I do with my life? Be productive? Lose weight? No, I do none of those things.
On top of all of this, the show is 18+, so I have no idea who's going to this.
Okay, so yeah, Randall, you just mentioned that you looked up the Wikipedia page of one of these women. They were a Disney Channel person. Is that correct, or is that Nickelodeon?
Disney, Nickelodeon, I don't know. The Sweet Life of Zack and Cody, I don't know if you are aware of that show. She was on that.
I'm pushing 30. I have no idea what that is.
Yeah, well, she's 22. Okay. So, like, literally, she has 4 years of fans younger than her who are going to be able to come, and then everybody else is just out of luck. And that's just one of them. I don't know about the other ones at all. To Google.
I get confused by things that are popular pretty often. I think because I'm slowly becoming Andy Rooney. But I listen to Periphery. I'm like, who are these kids that are loving this? Like, but at least I get it. It's music, but I don't know what this is. Ugh.
Vlogger's gonna vlog.
Vloggers. I don't know. I don't know, man. I feel like people should stick with what they're good at, and I suppose vlogging would be being behind a computer, not live in front of an audience.
Yeah, I think if 365, how close is it coming to you?
Like 10-minute drive.
You should go.
Yeah, you should definitely go.
Well, if the Toilet of Hell community wants to do a Kickstarter for me for almost $200 to meet these people, I'll get an interview and it'll be really incredibly awkward.
Well, I can just put you on the press list.
I'll definitely be the only non-dad there if there's any guys there to begin with. So.
We have to at least try for press list passes just to see if they respond or if they grant them.
Yeah, I'll definitely send that email. That's worthwhile to me.
We're looking to interview one of your girls.
Your women. I think we should all have mustaches, though, if we're going to be doing this.
I mean, I have yes. I have a mustache. Do you have a mustache?
I do.
I can't grow one.
Oh, know who else can't grow a mustache?
Phil Labonte,
poor bastard.
Phildo.
He's so angry at the world because he can't grow a mustache.
I wonder what makes him angrier, his tiny hands or his mustacheless face.
I don't know. Like, I get that chin strap facial hair setup he has, like, lets people know exactly who he is, like, an asshole gun nut, tends to be racist, but how long has he been holding on to that chin strap? Like, it's got to be 10 years now, right?
A decade. Well,
he's trying to get it long enough so he can use it to pull himself up by his bootstraps.
Good call.
I heard somebody had a rumor about him, about writing music.
Yeah, so because I'm...
Actually, it's not a rumor. I Googled it before, and he totally admitted to it.
Yeah, you come to the Toilet of Hell for the latest in metalcore news from the mid-2000s. So here we are.
Relevant information to our fans.
Yeah, if for some reason you care about what All That Remains does, they've brought in outside songwriters to help them with their chugga-chugga clean choruses.
Because it's so difficult to write extraordinarily generic At the Gates ripoff riffs, because Arch Enemy isn't putting out new albums that you can't rip off. And then three chord choruses with somebody singing crappy melodies over it.
Auto-tune that shit. Yeah, I feel them. It must be difficult to write the same fucking album ten times in a row.
Hey, man. I look forward to somebody in the comments. Hey, man, the first EP was really good.
No, it wasn't. You're lying to yourself.
I used to really like it and defend it, and then I listened to it again. And it's like, oh.
365, you opened up for them. How long ago was it?
This was in like 2004.
Yeah.
So it was, I think, the album, This Darkened Heart, something like that. The song was The Deepest Gray, and I opened up for them. It was like a Sunday night, end of summer, so like anyone who was interested was like already going back to school, and there was no one there. It was literally like the other bands, All That Remains, and that's it. And I couldn't tell you how the show was because I left right after we played. I didn't even stick around to watch them. I do remember their merch. It had just said their name on it, but it was in the Iron Maiden font, and my eyes still haven't recovered from the rolling.
Normally, I would chastise you for leaving before the rest of the bands play, but I think I can give you a pass for this one, even though you had no idea who All That Remains was back then. knowing now, totally okay.
Yeah, I mean, little do you know, you could have had a personal meet and greet with a frequent Bill O'Reilly guest.
Yeah, we could have talked about Atlas Shrugged and how the free market should decide absolutely everything.
Yeah,
and how poor people should just die.
If they didn't want to be poor, they would just go get some more money, right?
They would grow chin straps to pull their bootstraps up.
I don't know if you've ever looked at Phil's Twitter feed, but if you ever just want to like turn your hair white with blistering hot takes, like go ahead.
Or just develop cancer.
Yeah, that too. He's too extreme for, you know, Fox News. His takes are too hot. They can't handle the hotness of his takes. For example, he posted the other day saying that poor people have never built a children's hospital. That's why he loves the rich. Just thinking, I don't know, I feel like charities have been around building hospitals for the poor for like, you know, I don't know, all of time, but I'm not a hot take machine. I can't compute.
Yeah, he's just
literally
too
makes me
too
nauseous.
Subversive.
We should bring him on the next episode.
Yeah, and let's get Jared Leto in character as the Joker too.
Juggalo Joker, man. Yeah, that could be a lot of fun.
Halloween time, you're going to get plenty of Jokers and plenty of Harlequins.
Oh, God. Everyone is the worst. Actually, so what I did yesterday is I occasionally get the desire to eat a mass-produced generic pretzel. I drove to the mall to get that pretzel, and right next to Hot Topic, of course, and saw all the kids going in, getting their Suicide Squad merch for the new school year. It really made my heart happy.
Yeah, Joe, I just imagine you sitting at home, like, in a chair, doing nothing, and just wringing your hands as you debate getting a pretzel.
That's
and then just getting up without a word and getting in your car and driving to the mall for the sole purpose of getting a pretzel, then just sitting there in the mall by yourself, eating it, getting back in your car, and then driving home. That's
my... Do you get psyched up when you get the pretzel? It's like, all right, let's do this. It's go time.
You guys are making me sound way pathetic, but yes, that's exactly how it goes.
Do you get a regular pretzel, or do you get like the cinnamon fancy kind?
Do you get the mustard on it?
I'm a regular pretzel man. Like, all I want is butter and salt on it, and then just let me go to town with it.
Do you put mustard on it too, or
no,
cheese, or anything?
I keep it clean, though. Occasionally, when I'm feeling extra spicy, I get an icy to go with it.
Ooh, does it have like the little polar bear, with the blue and the red on it?
Oh yeah, definitely.
You got to get the real icy. That's the only way to do it on a mall icy.
All right, man. Let's go ahead and bring this back to some icy riffs. Here we go.
That sounds good.
Yeah, this is a submission I got this week. I thought it was pretty dope. This is Nulla Positive. That was Nulla Positive with a track off Stornelli Distopici, the debut track, the debut LP from that band. Would of course be Italian, kind of a mix of black metal and hardcore. It's interesting. This is a submission I got in my inbox, and I initially was turned off by how trebly everything sounded, but as I kept listening, I kept getting more and more into it. So I think it's I think it's pretty cool. Nulla Positive would be a pretty rough translation from Italian to nothing more in English. So it's definitely English second language for some of this stuff. But
I refuse to call it Nulla Positive because it's obviously Nulla Plus. The hip hop. No, it's definitely Nulla Plus. I don't care if it's actually Nulla Positive. I'm refusing to be correct. And I will continue to call it Nulla Plus. Musically, I can see a bunch of our readers really getting into this band. But I'm with you, man. The first time I heard it, I wasn't really paying attention either. I was kind of reading something on Facebook. But I remember I got to the end of the track and was like, that wasn't good. Do people like that? And then I decided I needed to give it a fair shot and, you know, turn it back on again. Then focused on it and actively listened to it. And yeah, you're absolutely right. Very trebly, but there's a lot of interesting progressions. windy, noodly little black metal tremolo guitars, and I enjoyed it. It's a little demanding because you have to pay attention or else it sounds like hot garbage.
Yes. Speaking of noodly, it helps if you have a plate of spaghetti while you're listening.
Hey, I was eating ravioli. Is that close enough?
It's Italian.
Hey, meatball. Also, their Bandcamp tag is, one of them is Stenchcore.
Yes. Oh, that is awesome. Stench.
I'm pretty sure that was Crust Punk.
Yeah, but, I was immediately thinking of Leftover Crack, which they do not sound like Leftover Crack.
No, when I think Stenchcore, I think Maryland Death Fest, and I think those nasty, gross, disgusting Crust Punks and their truck pool. They literally pulled up a truck to the sidebar and put a tarp in the back and then filled it with water. And it was probably the first bath they'd taken in 4 or 5 years.
Can you imagine what kind of bacteria is swimming around in that tarp? Like, that is the commingling of several unwashed Crust Punks, like just a petri dish of stank.
That tarp Absolutely. Just put out a split with Drop Dead, by the way.
That took me a second. Yeah, oh my gosh.
Vegan straight edge for life.
Oh my gosh. No, they were... I'd feel a little bad about making fun of a culture so horribly, but Crust Punks... I don't know who I'd rather hang out with, a bunch of Crust Punks or a bunch of Juggalos. It's that bad for me.
Oh, I would hands down rather hang out with Juggalos.
Really?
Definitely. By the way, this is a sneak preview. We're at the tail end of this podcast, so anything we say here is, you know, pretty much our own private club. Nobody's listening at this point. But me, Leif Berrickson, and W are going to be going to see Insane Clown Posse in Austin in October.
Pictures. Lots of pictures, please.
I think that we're going to have to paint up. I think that we're going to have to, like, go full into this thing seriously.
No alcohol, only Faygo.
Well, I mean, okay, no alcohol as long as we can do meth.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm pretty sure it'll be easy to find there.
Those guys are going to be staying with me. I look forward to us getting home at the end of the night and then them being completely covered in sticky Faygo. The cats would probably lick them.
Dude, cats likes... I don't think cats really like soda.
I don't know. These cats lick me a lot. I can only imagine it would be better with the addition of corn syrup.
I mean, Albus likes sweet tea, but he doesn't like soda so far.
This is a tough call.
We'll have to find out when you go to that show.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully when we go see the show, we're not going to be stuck watching 10 opening horrorcore bands.
You know you will be.
I think that'd be awesome. I want to see the lower tier Juggalo bands.
You Blaze Your Dead Homie and Boondocks and lots of X's.
Those guys are actually like huge. Like,
yeah, they're part of that group.
Yeah, Twisted like might be as big as Insane Clown Posse, which is absurd to me because I can't believe I know so much about Juggalo culture. I think I need to go soak my head.
This is a special bonus for people who don't listen to the podcast that long. They're getting the insights of Juggalo-ness. Toyota hell.
Have you guys ever bothered to listen to any Juggalo bands?
No, I don't listen to any of that stuff because I don't hate myself.
Well, I kind of do hate myself, so I've listened to a number of them. I mean, I gotta say, some of it is, you know, none of it's good. Let me preface that. None of it's good, but a lot of it is not that bad.
I have the Heavy Metal 2000 soundtrack, and that has ICP and Twisted on a song together, and that's pretty much my experience.
I also have that soundtrack, or at least I did when I was, like, I don't know, 13.
It's a good soundtrack.
Yeah, it's got a really good Monster Magnet song on it.
Yeah, I love Monster Magnet, so that's why I bought it.
But, ideally this isn't going to be a set, but we'll start at noon and then just go on until midnight when the band finally goes on.
I can't stand when people do that with shows. Just, hey, grab 20 locals.
I think that's a phenomenon that doesn't really happen as much here. I mean, it does happen occasionally, but for the most part, Same. That seems to be an East Coast phenomenon.
Charlotte is fortunately, most of the venues and promoters around here are not stupid, but we still, there's one venue in particular that... every year, the rumor is they're closing down, and I pray that they will, but they never do. But they're a relatively big venue. They get the medium-sized shows. Well, they used to, but now they don't even respond when you try to. Like, I had the opportunity to try to book Leprous, who was amazing and would totally be worth the guarantee they were asking for. But the venue said, nah, we don't know who they are. We don't want it.
Weird.
Yeah. Anyways, so they do local showcases occasionally to try to pretend like they care about local bands. And they basically just hit up all these new bands that have never played any shows, or very small bands that haven't played any shows, or only played a few handful and don't know the local promoters yet. And they give them tickets and say, you're playing orders to, based on how many tickets you sell, and don't pay any of the bands any money, or they'll pay them some stupid thing like, oh yeah, for every ticket you sell, you get like a dollar. So even if you sell 25 and play last, you get paid like 25, 50 bucks. And it's just egregious to me that they can get away with this every year and book 10, 15 bands that nobody wants to see except for their parents. And then,
I think we've probably discussed this at some point in the past, but from a business perspective, starting a band is the dumbest thing you can do.
Absolutely. Financially, it is a black hole and a void. You're not going to be famous. You're not going to be successful. Don't do it unless you really, really want to.
I can't imagine starting a band now and then going through that hassle of trying to sell tickets to friends, like, please come see my band, and as well as 15 metalcore bands.
365, you said Slumber Slaughter's coming near you, right?
I think it just passed. Yeah.
How many bands were on it?
Including the actual tour and all the locals, it's something like 22 bands played, and it started at 12:30.
22
the doors
bands?
Didn't open at 12:30. It started at 12:30. 22 bands.
Was it, what day was it on? Was it like on a weekend at least?
It was a Saturday.
Or was it like a Tuesday? It was a Saturday?
It was a Saturday.
Okay, that's a little more helpful, but oh my gosh.
Pretty bad.
So the normal Summer Slaughter tour is supposed to have 10 bands. Like, that's the build things you want to see, and even then, you probably only want to see, like, 7 of those.
You're being very generous.
Yeah, I'm looking now, and I see After the Burial and Carnifex are there, so, like, 3 bands.
Yeah, basically, you go for Suffocation. Yeah, you gotta go to the bathroom getting more drinks at some point. But,
Suffocation.
Revocation, Suffocation, and, Nile, and I'm missing one.
Cannibal Corpse is fun. I mean, if you've never seen Cannibal Corpse, you should definitely do it.
It's a one-time thing.
I'd
take it off your bucket list.
The only Chrissian album I like is the one with the terrible drum sounds.
I think that's the one I like, because I remember listening to Chrissian in college and really liking it, but I literally have not listened to them since and have had zero reason to ever go back and try them again.
I was a DJ, a radio DJ in college, and had a metal show, and like the metal section was like a shelf and a half. But there was at least 5 Chrissian albums that were still there.
How did they get there?
No one stole them. What's that?
How did they get there?
Well, I think, you know, they had connections with the labels, so it was just, it wasn't like the big CDs, it was like the little slip cases with like the dates of when to play it. But
so
like,
there
was nothing else on the shelves but Chrissian.
That doesn't seem to leave you with many options for things to play. What did you do?
I brought my own.
Ah, okay, that makes more sense.
That's how mine ran? Yeah,
I took it over and started actually talking to these labels again, trying to get new stuff.
So, I don't know what Slaughter to Prevail is, but apparently that's one of the regular touring bands. I can't imagine what was playing at 12:30. Can we listen to what was playing at 12:30? Do you remember what that band was?
Oh, I mean, I didn't go to the show, but I can tell you some of the bands that played, and you could look them up and see what you find.
Perfect. I've got Reverb Nation open right now.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, God.
Why
is Reverb Nation still a thing? I am going to start refusing to book bands who don't have a band camp and have a Reverb Nation instead.
That's good policy. Oh, hey. Summer Slaughter is coming to Austin. Like, next
How many
year?
Bands are playing?
I believe there are only 10 playing.
See, the tour itself is already over. It's just absolutely madness. I cannot imagine the logistics of trying to get 10 bands across the country into 20-something, 30-something venues in the time of a month, month and a half. That's just... I know Niall and Krizian are apparently sharing a bus together. I imagine Cannibal Corpse has their own because they're kind of the big daddies. And I imagine the rest of the bands are probably slumming it in buses or vans or trailers or whatever they can even afford. But can you imagine trying to get 10 bands to 30 different venues over a month, month and a half?
That sounds awful.
Why? I don't understand. Because the lower three or four bands are probably paying buy-ons to get on this tour. I imagine anywhere from $250 to $500 a night. So these kids are probably either rich or stupid and just took out way more money than they can afford and have to hope that they make that merch. And then the guarantees for the big bands, like imagine a Cannibal Corpse guarantee. That's a few thousand, probably two, three minimum.
I would say so, yeah.
And then, I mean, none of the other bands, I imagine Revocation probably has a guarantee, probably under $1,000, but I mean, probably not like 200 either. That's just so expensive. I don't understand. I would have to sit and think about the numbers for a while to figure out how this thing could make profit. Because obviously it makes profit. They've been doing it for 10 years.
The more I think about this, the more mind-boggling it is to me that anybody does this for a living.
Oh, I know how promoters make money. I'm friends with one promoter.
Oh, I'm not talking about the promoter. Those guys are snakes. They'll probably do fine. I'm just thinking to myself, Dave Davidson, like, was it Berkeley or something? Like, to play death metal to 50 people a night for 360 nights a year.
Oh, right. Yeah, Berkeley musicians who play death metal are stupid. I will say that. Like, you have one of the most prestigious music degrees in the world, and you use it to play shows in dudes' basements to 20 dudes.
Yeah, you're never going to pay off your student loans that way.
Like, just stop, go home, do guitar lessons at your local crappy music store, and wait until you can get in a professional, or I don't know, maybe play an instrument that makes money. Like, hey, be a lead violin for a orchestra in some city you don't live in yet. Oh, wow, now you make a living. Good job.
It seems like there's a lot of competition with violin, though. I want to go with something that's a little easier. Like, I bet less people play double bass just because it's, you know, prohibitively large.
Do you have $20,000 laying around to buy one?
Damn it.
I must say, that's a rich people instrument right there.
It's
a violin's small enough that you can kind of afford it. But once you get to cello and above, it immediately drops in the thousands.
Man, it is almost like music has conspired to take money away from people and give nothing in return.
Except for promoters.
Don't go into music. Go into business.
Yep. I know the one dude who brought a very risky show over. First time the band had played in America, but if it worked, it would be profitable for everyone. It was... I think the total cost was $60,000, $70,000 for a one-off show in New York because the band has a lot of crew, like 20, 25 people just for the music part, and he still ended up in the black. Ugh. Because...
Wait, that would be in the
red. Because when you... Yeah, no, he... with a show like that, though, if you... You know, when you're dealing with bands that want guarantees... The rest of the money goes to you. So you've paid the band in advance. They have already got their money. They're happy. They just want to perform at this point and sound good. So from that perspective, promoter's not really a snake. I mean, because the venue makes he had to also pay for the venue. Literally, all the money left over after the ticket sales was his. And he deserves it because that's terrifying to drop almost six digits on a show.
Well... I'll tell you what, we've played a lot of music on the show that I like. How about I throw you a bone today?
I would bark and wag my tail a lot. How about some American power metal?
American power metal. Tell us a little bit about this.
So we got this band called Thunderforge, and apparently they posted themselves in US Power Metal Connection last fall, and like a total bonehead, I just missed it. But somebody tagged me in it this week, and I liked it a lot. It's a solid EP. It kind of gets weaker as it goes on, but the first track rips, and it's still good throughout. It's never bad at all. I'm really looking forward to seeing what they do in the future. They're from the Northeast, I think. They've, you know, catchy choruses. It's power metal. There's nothing groundbreaking here at all. But it reminds me a little bit of a mix of Noble Beast, who I know a lot of listeners like, just based on the guitar and the riffs. And then the vocals remind me a little bit of what's his face from Lords of the Trident. I should know his name. It's Tyler or Ty or something. But, you know, just solid singing, solid choruses, solid writing all around. And if you like American style power metal, you're going to have a good old time.
There you have it. Fellas, anything else you want to cover before we end this edition?
Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Toilet of Hell, at 365 Days of Horror, at Joe Thrash and Kill, and at The Randall Thor. And if you don't mind, I was actually interested in reading a little bit of a, well, let's just say it's a poem, if that's okay with you.
By all means.
A good note to go out on. Love is in the air, blinding me with smoke. You are the air I breathe when I choke. Butterflies in the jar, butterflies in the jar, butterflies in the jar, so breathless. Get out of my rowboat, get out of my rowboat, get out of my rowboat, get out of my rowboat. And that is a Cold Chamber song.
Big truck. Big truck.
No, rowboat.
They really love transportation.
I just heard Big Truck for the first time like 2 weeks ago.
Nope. We're in the show. We can talk about Cold Chamber all we want next week.
Thunder Forge.
I'm Joe Thrash and Kill. With me today was 365 Days of Horror and Randall Thor. This has been the Toilet of Hell Radio Show. We'll see you next week, leaving you with Thunder Forge with Raiders of the Night.
You're listening to 66.6 FM. Radio TOVH. The Flush.